Before we get started, I just want to let you guys know, we'll be ending at 12:45, so there's time for questions, and we can do our raffle. Make sure to enter the raffle with those raffle off flowers to one of our attendees. My name is Stella Guy. I'm Vice Chair of PacSol, and my co-MC is Rosemary Changson, also an officer of PacSol. Cheryl Lloyd is our chair, but she couldn't be here today. She's really sorry. She has to be in San Diego. If the other PacSol members could raise your hands. Great. And we're really glad you could come here today. Dr. Amy Levine, some of you actually may know her already because she was at UCOP. She was a presidential fellow under President Dines, and it was her work with then-Associate President Linda Williams on the Creating Changes initiative that led to many things, including the founding of PacSol. And I want to thank Amy again for caring enough about OP to help us get this organization going. So Amy will tell you about some of the many programs that she put into place at UCSF over her time there. And I just want to say briefly, when I think of Amy, I think of someone who knows how to get things done. While the rest of us are planning meetings, talking, planning more meetings, and wringing our hands over how to get things done, this person already has a plan in place, the budget, figured out the allies, the partners, and she's rolling. So that's just one of the reasons why she is a woman that we admire. Everyone, Dr. Amy Levine.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you all for coming and spending your lunch time with me. I really appreciate it. And I wanted to just tell you a little bit about the kinds of work that we've been doing. So that those of you who were here earlier, we had a little slideshow that we showed that was a retrospective of about 30 years of work at UCSF. And before I begin, though, and move into it, I just want to thank those of you who are on for inviting me and OGC. And I was going to do the raise your hand and thank everyone for being here. And I really appreciate your carrying the baton and moving ahead with the work that we started. So thank you to all of you who are on PacSol. So I thought I would begin by telling you a little bit about the work that I've been doing at UCSF for all of these years. And I'm kind of away from the slideshow here. Terrific. So about the Center for Gender Equity. It started as a rape prevention education program in 1979. There was a law enforcement assistance administration grant, and all of the campuses, then there were nine, got money to start up a rape prevention education program. And I did that for 5 years. I found that women were kind of using it as a women's center because we didn't have one. So we were looking at all kinds of issues. So we worked with a small group of mighty, strong women to recommend to the chancellor's office then that we start up a chancellor's advisory committee on the status of women at UCSF, which we did. Their first recommendation was to start a women's center. So I was appointed as the first director, worked with rape prevention, did women's center, did that for about 10 years, then expanded to become the Center for Gender Equity, which started, I think, in 1998. But I thought I would start with a riddle that was very popular in the 70s, and see if you all can guess this. So a man rushes into an emergency room with his son and says, "We've been in a really bad accident, and someone needs to operate on my son immediately." And so the surgeon walks in and says, "I can't operate on this boy. It's my son." Who's the surgeon?
His mother.
His mother, duh. Right? Well, in the 70s, no one could come up with the answer. Right? It was like so out of our realm of thinking that women were doctors, much less surgeons. No one could answer that question. Now I tend to think the answer is this other gay dad. So it could be. So anyway, we're moving ahead. But it's pretty shocking to think, thinking back about this presentation, 1979, no computers. It was nothing, no email, obviously, no cell phones, no fax. I remember the first time I saw a fax, and I thought, how do you put the paper in and the paper goes through that wire? Like, are you an idiot? So we have advanced so much, in terms of technology, but in those days, we had an answering machine
that would answer calls. We had like a typesetter that would do our flyers and things like that. So this was in the late 70s, early 80s when I first started my job. And I started out again this rape prevention education program, not knowing anything about the issue of sexual assault or rape. But I was interested in the helping profession. I applied for this job. I got it on a Friday, and they told me that Monday they were shipping me off to Lake Arrowhead with all the other women who were starting at the same time to educate and train us to start up these programs. So I bought a book called Against Our Will by Susan Brown Miller. Some of you, not many in this room, are old enough to remember this book. And I started reading it thinking, oh, my God. You know, this is intense. This is really scary stuff. And I kind of freaked myself out. And Jeff, who is my husband, drew a picture of me from those years, a little cartoon, with me standing up saying, protect yourself and, all this stuff, and be strong and take self-defense. And then the other panel was me driving home going, oh, my God, it's dark out. It really launched me into feminism by doing this work and realizing that one in four women can expect to be a victim of sexual assault or attempted sexual assault in her life. We all know someone, whether we know that we do or we don't. The new statistics are a woman is raped or sexually assaulted every 2 minutes in the United States. So it's phenomenal. And it's actually pretty rampant on our college campuses. So that launched me into feminism, into the Women's Center, and then the Center for Gender Equity. And I would like to introduce Majiva Sanchez, who is the assistant director of the Center for Gender Equity, and Chelsea Sims, who is the program assistant. And they are one of the main reasons I get up in the morning and want to come to work. I adore them. They are amazing. They are brilliant and kind-hearted and supportive and incredibly efficient. I can't, praise them more highly. We are totally a team and work really well together. And I would also like to introduce Vanessa George, who is the previous assistant director of the Center for Gender Equity. So we like to just kind of bring more people along. She's also incredibly accomplished. So that's my intro. What we do at the Center for Gender Equity, we focus on three things now, pretty much: leadership development and diversity, health and wellness, and intimate partner and sexual violence prevention. Those are our three areas. When I did the Women's Center, we tried to be all things to all people. We did car care and, plumbing workshops and flower arranging and, anything to, female genocide. So we were doing everything. Now we're trying to really focus. And we spend the majority of our time, I think, working on the leadership development and diversity. Those are some of the folks who have attended our programs. I want to start with leadership development and diversity. We run a turnaround. I'm sorry you guys are doing my back.
We're fine.
We do a turnaround mentorship program. There was a program on the UCSF campus through ABOD. You guys have heard of ABOD, the Academic Business Officers Group. I thought it was a system-wide group, but maybe you don't have it here at OP. So they formed a mentorship program and mentored folks AA3 and above. So what we did was focus on those who had been mentored, the mentorees, and ask them to turn around and mentor folks who are AA1s and 2s, because we really feel like that population is often overlooked for programs and services. So Vanessa oversaw that program. Majiza does it now. It's been flourishing. It's amazing. They do a phenomenal job. So, again, it's for men and women. And these are some of the – so we have data now. We're really into data. It used to be I just wanted to do stuff. I didn't really want to talk about it. The mentees from past cycles were surveyed in 2010 said, these are some of the outcomes from it. So it does make a difference. We're looking more at, so we do all these things, so what? So people go, yeah, it was groovy, you had a great time, more power to you. Okay, that's nice. I'd like to hear it, but was there really an impact? Confidence in job performance, expanding my network. Can you read this in the document? So you can see all the different things, up to promotions.
and then other, which I'm not going to tell you about because I don't know what it is. But there are many impacts. They are impacted in many ways. Then, we wanted to know, well, was this attributable to being in the mentorship program, or might it have happened anyway? 100% said that it was due to being in the mentorship program. And I know that here at OP there's been talk about starting up a mentorship program. I hope you do, and I hope that this kind of data shows that it really makes a difference. And I realize for my own career, it's really made a difference to have champions, to have people who speak for you. You've heard the old saying, it doesn't matter what you know, it matters who you know. I think it's both. But it really does make a difference in terms of who you know. And mentors can really open up a world for you in terms of networking and shadowing people and getting to know folks. And it's really made a difference for me. So, kids at UCSF Day used to be Take Our Daughters to Work Day. Mm-hmm. Changed it to Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. Then we changed it to Kids Day at UCSF. Trying to change with the times. We reach probably about 350 children on this day, although the budget was cut. We haven't done it in about 2 years now, something like that. It's been an amazing program, particularly because it's at UCSF. So as you can see, they can go into, like, surgery. They can go, just some of the opportunities they have are incredible. I forget, what are some of the other programs?
They do catering. They also go
to the NICU and
police department.
The police department.
My kids have done dentistry, pharmacy, cardiology, surgery.
And I got an MD.
Big time editor of this program. I think it's incredible. Very upset it's no longer funded.
Yeah, me too. Except right now, that's the least of our worries. So these are some comments from past program planners. So not only do the kids love it, but we work with, you know, different people on campus to provide these programs. So I'll give you a minute just to read some of the comments from our staff at UCSF. And the girls, which is kind of unique to our program. And what we decided, we didn't want to just bring them together so they could mirror the same kinds of dynamics that often happen in the classroom, which in our experience is that the boys tend to promote themselves more than the girls, and the girls stand back. So it was beneficial to separate them out, particularly for the girls' perspective. And 1 year we tried integrating them, and the program planners complained, saying that the boys were asking questions and, you know, demanding more, which is fine, but the girls were then kind of left in the shadows, and we didn't want that. So we separate out the boys, and the Center for Gender Equity, through us, do a separate program for all of the boys, about 100 of them. We separate them 7 to 9 years old, and then 10 to 13. And we've been doing programs on the
fire and music.
We don't like to say gender sensitivity because people get all freaked out about that, but that's kind of what it is. So these are some of the comments from the boys who have attended the program. This is my favorite. I like chocolate milk and violet
what?
Stirred it all chocolate milk. So this will just give you some sense of the impact of the program that we do on the boys.
Is that music for spicy?
And then, of course, my all-time favorite at the bottom. This is the best day of my life.
That's good so far.
Yeah. It's fabulous.
Do the boys tend to ask as many questions as the girls are asking?
Yes, and in fact, I joke about this. You ask the boys a question in the room, and you get, like this, and then you call on the boy, he's like, So it's really interesting to us, you know, that kind of dynamic. Then we have another program where we have the girls in a small group interview students about what it's like to be in the health professions and be students at UC. And the woman who started the program would just put them in a room to start things off, and the girls wouldn't ask anything. They were all too shy. Nobody said anything. So she got like a hat, and she wrote out questions and put them in the hat and then gave it to the girls to pick out one and ask. Then they got started. Then they got going. So it's a different view of the world, and we're trying to encourage the girls to, push themselves out more, and also trying to reach the boys where they are. Because I think boys are often told that their behavior is bad or wrong also. They're too rowdy in class, so we try to do things where they're moving and talking and interactive. You know, if you lecture at boys for an hour, oh my God, it's deadly. Awful. So in this particular one, we hired someone who was a former comedian, and he was really funny. He did like Disney voices and stuff, and the boys loved it. Another time, I know I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to try to, we'll see what happens. We did a panel on men in female-dominated fields and women in male-dominated fields. And we played like What's My Line, which is, this was ancient history. This was a program in the 50s, I think. We have to guess what people did. So they would just talk about their profession, and the boys would have to ask questions and then guess what they did, and then they could ask anything. So we had like a female football player. I can't remember the other things. Female football player, female surgeon, female police chief,
and now...
And male nurse, yeah. Male administrative assistant, male chef, basically things like that. And with the surgeon, so they ask all these questions, they find out she's a doctor, and then, now you know she's a doctor, you can ask whatever you want. Are you a nurse? No, so we know she's a doctor, you can ask her anything about being a doctor. Are you a nurse? Well, it's amazing how ingrained some of these things are. We had them draw pictures before the panel. Draw a picture of a secretary, and then draw a picture of a football player, and then to show them. And, of course, 100% male football players, 99% female secretaries, except one boy who drew the Secretary of State. That's really interesting. So, you would think, it's 2010, we have moved past this. No.
Okay.
So we also do, all of this is under our Leadership Development and Diversity. So we do a Women of Color Professional Network, initiatives to work with women of color on advancement. One luncheon every year where we bring everyone together, and then other programs through the year, including coaching and advising. Majiza oversees it now, does an outstanding job. Vanessa did that before, and it's one of our more rewarding and exciting programs. This is the impact on the women of color. And this one I find really interesting, decreased feelings of isolation as a woman of color. I think that's one of the biggest issues in the UC system, is feeling like what's happening is happening to you alone. And it isn't. It's happening as a group.
Amy, this is UCSF program or something like
that? This is UCSF. Yeah. That 89% attributed this kind of impact to being in our program. Okay. We also work with faculty. I'm on the board of the American Council on Education, Office of Women and Higher Education, Northern California. I don't want to put all of this like a mouthful. I can't even remember it. We've done many conferences, one called Where There's a Woman, There's a Way. So we brought together 150 women faculty, and it was from UC, Cal State, privates, and community college. So we're trying to bring everyone together and look at leadership issues. And we had a panel with college presidents also, which was really interesting. So please do interrupt me anytime. Okay, this is a system-wide program, the UC Diversity Pipeline Initiative. Linda Kane here works with us, and Dina Bullard also. And we've been doing it for maybe 4 or 5 years. And it's an initiative to bring together underrepresented women of color students in the health sciences at UC. You with me? Underrepresented women of color, health encourage them to become faculty. So the goal is to change the face of diversity among faculty in the health sciences, and we thought the best way to do that is to start with them as students. Jack Stobo has been our champion lately. He's been fabulous and helped us to get funding, so thank you, Jack. And the president came and did the welcome remarks this last year and has been incredibly supportive of the program as well. So we reach about 60 women. We bring them together for a weekend and do programs on networking, which Vanessa does, negotiating relationships, which Majida does, and we have panels. We also bring women of color faculty to participate, and they do panels on advancing your career, or the benefits of an academic career. Mary also came, and career work-life balance. Yeah. So, and we do communication, and it's really incredible. So this is the impact of that program. So we ask them, after, how likely are you to pursue a career in academia? And you can see the majority are likely, very likely, or extremely likely. And then we ask them, so of the students who are likely, how much is that attributed to this initiative? 85.7%. So that made us feel good. Then we ask, what was your interest before the conference and after, on a scale of 1 to 5, so from 3 to 4. So we're hoping, we don't have long-term data about how many actually become faculty because we haven't been doing it long enough. And this is testimonials from some of the women. I hope you can hear it. Maybe you could just read lips. I was saying, when we get to this part, if it doesn't work, do I have to tell jokes? Because I couldn't think of any that I could actually tell here. So do you have any questions for me while we're waiting for this?
Yeah, where's the funding for this program?
Where's the funding? So the funding is from the California Wellness Foundation, California Healthcare Foundation, CTSI, the Student Affairs Office at UCSF, and Jack helped us to get money from each of the 6 campuses that have health science programs. But each year we gravel and beg. Oh, and we got money from the California Endowment through Catherine Nation, who's also been a champion of this. So.
Honored to be part of the University Pipeline Initiative. Hi, my name is Nancy Sam, and I'm a doctoral student at UCLA. My name is Virginia, and I'm from the School of Pharmacy. Hi, I'm Renna Nassar, and I am a second year doctoral student at UCLA School of Nursing.
Hi, my name is Shirley, and I'm from UCSF.
On panel just 10 years from now and giving advice and mentoring students, because I just think that's so important for students to have the right mentor. And women of color who are successful, it really is. It's heartwarming and it reaffirms the fact that, you know, I'm not alone.
Of opinions of a small fraction of society, 85% male,
are published in op-eds, and it's not because they are chosen more often, it's because they are submitting more often. And that as women, we often don't believe that we are thought leaders and have something to say. So we do this project. It's really incredible. I would love to bring it here to OP sometime. Each of us have been through it. The four of us have been through it. I don't know if you have, Mary. It's phenomenal. And they start by having you just figure out what are you an expert in. It could be anything from like baking cupcakes to neurosurgery. I mean, whatever it is that you have something to say about. What are you an expert in? And then walk you through how to write something. And it's an incredible program. It's fabulous. So we do an appointments training once a year. And Jenny came to that. And we're trying to encourage women to pursue serving on boards and commissions and running for a political office. And this training teaches women in particular, but men have also attended, but we're really trying to increase representation from women. And we have Fiona Ma, Maxine Waters, Sophie Maxwell, other women, politicians come and talk about it. And we had a guy from Schwarzenegger's office who does the appointments come and talk about the process and how to do it. So, since attending the appointments training, I plan so that's the impact of that. Oops. So 88% attributed to the training. Okay. Now, this is a course that I'm teaching at UC Berkeley Extension with a lot of help from my friends. It's 10 sessions. This particular session that's coming up, unfortunately you can't read it, but it's starting in September. And it's a semester-long program on women and leadership. And I bring in a lot of outside speakers, Jesus and Vanessa, and we look at the use of power, obviously organizational politics, communication, negotiating, public speaking, all kinds of things. So it's pretty amazing. And then Extension asked me this year to extend it to a year-long certificate program. Mm-hmm. So if you take it for a year, you'll get a certificate in women in leadership. And unfortunately, again, you can't read that, but I'm happy to send the flyer around to anyone who's interested. The enrollment is open now. This one many of you know about, I'm hoping, the Women's Leadership Symposium, the conference that we do every 2 years. It's system-wide. We get about 400 women from all of the UC campuses, OP, and the lab. And I'm pretty biased myself. I think it's, it's a problem.
Awesome.
So I'm not quite sure what to say about it, except that we haven't been able to do it since 2008.
Right.
I love that. Thank you. since 2008, but I don't know what the future holds. So we offer 30 workshops. And we have keynote speakers ranging from Angela Davis to Maxine Hong Kingston to
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Melbo, Molly Ivins,
Dolores
Huerta. So, anyway, a lot of amazing folks. And again, so this is the impact. Okay, this is the other piece that we do. So we do the leadership development diversity other area. We do a program called Women's Health Today, and it's a series of talks on contemporary issues in women's health, and it's webcast live time, so you can watch it here on your computer. When it happens, email us a question, which we will tell the speaker, and you can have listen to the answer right there. It's also on demand. It's a podcast, and those are some of the flyers. And we have been doing it since 2004, and we've reached 250,000 people. No, 750,000. Mm-hmm. Sorry, yeah, 750,000 people, which we thought was pretty amazing. Which goes back to my saying, originally we didn't have computers. And now with technology, you can reach people all over the world so easily. It's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the programs that we did last year. But we've done it on heart health and breast cancer and incontinence and, you name it, PMS and menopause and... Another program we do, emotional brain training with Mary's best friend.
Amy would be another one.
Yes.
Sorry. I think you might have to deal with them.
She's one of my best friends, too. So Laurel Mellon. And it's a program that teaches you basically nurturing and setting limits so that you can be what she calls wired for joy. Do you know what also, Jenny?
I can ask Jenny
a
little
bit. Are you talking to Laurel?
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything?
It's amazing. It's like I'm still trying to rewire my brain to
absorb it all.
Yeah. It's really amazing. I mean, she helps. This process, from what I understand, helps with any kind of, helps with addiction, for
right.
example.
Any over behavior.
Over, under, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anything in excess.
And Laurel and I were faculty together in family and community medicine. That's how I got to know her, and she didn't have anybody to do her research with. So she was developing these programs but didn't know how to design the studies, didn't know how to analyze the data. So I missed my only Super Bowl of my life 1 week. Analyzing all of her data for her, which showed that 3 years after doing the origin program of this, people were no longer on antihypertensives, insulin, had maintained their weight loss, and kept their physical activity up. And it's literally the most successful program in the entire world with now randomized clinical trial data to prove it. So I knew Amy was going to be one of the few people who could get this information out to people. So I tried to connect the two of them up, and
yeah.
It worked.
It's been fabulous. She's incredible. She just published a new book in June called Wired for Joy.
Mm-hmm.
More information about this, you can check on Amazon and look up Laurel Mellon. So we've been doing trainings for healers, at UCSF to train them in this process so they can use it with their patients. We're also doing another one for administrative assistants so they can just use it in their daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing. I'm kind of a groupie. Then the other piece is the intimate partner and sexual violence prevention, which Majitha oversees. She's a certified domestic violence counselor and does an incredible job with all of the self-defense classes, seminars and trainings, including training for the police department and medical personnel. I'll tell you more about raising healthy boys. We have a threat management team at UCSF, so anything is, quote, a threat to the university. So if someone's being stalked or if there's a domestic violence case and there's a potential that someone might come on campus, we pull together this team to look at how to provide services and keep everyone safe. And Majitha serves on that, victim advocacy, et cetera. So I'll tell you a little bit more about some of them. So this is the Rape Aggression Defense System self-defense class. Majitha is the teacher, and she brings in police officers so that they have assailants that they can fight with in the class. It's incredible. Love to bring it here to OP for you all. And Majitha is just a phenomenal teacher of this method. Another program where we try to train parents how to raise boys to be healthy and non-sexist. And so we've done a bunch, and these are just a few. One's called Tough Guys, Violence, Media, and the Crisis in Community, Hip Hop, Beyond Beats and Rhymes, Without Sexism and Hip Hop. So we do that once a year to kind of complement what we do with the boys, trying to work with the parents, and it's also a way to bring more men in to look at these issues and talk about it. Our flyers that we try to put in the stalls of the restroom. It's a private, easy place to reach. Sometimes you're just sitting there and all off. You might as well have, so this is what we try to put in the men's rooms, and this is for balance in the women's restrooms. We have another one on sexual assault as well. Then the Department of Justice Office of Violence Against Women offered UC system-wide a grant to look at sexual assault, domestic violence, and stalking, particularly for students. And I meant to put in here a slide that showed you the statistics for UC, and I forgot to do that. But if any of you are interested, we have that with the stats for each campus. Majiza oversees this again for our campus. There are four campuses, training, judicial affairs, new student orientation. So all new students at UC are now required, it's mandatory, to go through some training on sexual violence prevention. The campus is doing it somewhat differently. Majiza headed the that last year was called a bystander training. So rather than trying to get men to come to something and say, you know, behave, we brought folks together to look at what do you do if you see something going on between other folks. Instead of staying silent as a bystander, how can you interrupt that behavior? How can you support a woman? So you see, you know, your friend's at a party and a girl's getting really drunk and you see her walking off alone with some guy. What can you do? You know, do something. Because we know that alcohol is a big issue on our campuses as well. So these are some of the services just in general that we offer in addition to all of these programs. Consultation for departments. I'm working with a department now that has that issue with leadership among their faculty. And so I'm consulting with the department chair. Coaching and advising, which we've done not only at UCSF, but around the system as well, educational outreach. So you can just see all the different things. Committee participation also includes the system-wide advisory committee on the status of women. So I was a presidential fellow here, as Stella mentioned, and one of the outcomes was to try to get a committee on the status of women on every UC campus and then have representatives come together to serve on a system-wide committee. Linda Williams, who most of you know was the associate president here, has been the chair for the past 2 years, and I've been one of the co-vice chairs. She's stepping down, and we will have Mary, we're thrilled, is going to step up to chair the committee, and I will be her co-vice chair.
Co-chair,
whatever. Yeah. So we're trying to look at these issues system-wide, because many of you know, one campus is working on, you know, maternity leave policy without knowing that three other campuses are also looking at it, and in fact it's a system-wide issue. We need to all talk together. So we're trying to bring everyone together and look at a lot of these issues. So there you go. We focus on internal barriers to women's advancement, right, where we can do professional skill-building workshops and encourage women to be more assertive and to give them negotiation skills, and we do that through the courses and mentoring. But then there are external barriers, and we're trying to look at that also. As I mentioned, like maternity leave or sexual harassment policies or child care or lactation rooms or those things that affect us all through UC, and we're trying to look at that on our local committees and then the committee in general. So I think that's it. There's the team. So I do want to end by letting you know that now you see all the things that we do. Our chancellor has decided to start up a diversity office at UCSF, which we think is great. She's going to hire a vice chancellor for inclusion and outreach, similar to the UC Berkeley model. But she has decided that we do not fit in this office, and so she is dismantling the center and laying the three of us off December 31st. So if any of you have a job, so I would wait till the end so you can see how fabulous we are for me or Majiza or Chelsea. And unfortunately, Vanessa moved on to the development office, and she was just laid off also. So we are amazing. We'd like to come as a package today. And I talked to Jack Stobo and said, actually, what we would like is a promotion and Friday's off. So if you have that, you know, all offers gladly accepted. So unfortunately, we are being dismantled, and we are looking for homes for each of the different areas that we offer at UCSF. And our dream, I think, would be to save the center and the services and to find jobs elsewhere, like OP. So any questions? questions or comments?
Yeah. Besides fabulous programs, as someone who's new to UC, this is amazing. I hope it continues in various ways.
Thank you. Okay, good enough.
Like before. I was wondering if there were any opportunities, perhaps diminished now, but maybe as a funding mechanism of some of these programs or support services to alum across the Cal, you know, across either the UC or at Cal or whatever it may be. But it strikes me that there are a lot of things that could be really great webcasts that perhaps could also, you know, get some financial support, maybe or at least some support from the alumni. Services at different campuses as they try to figure out what are ways of engaging alumni.
I love it. That's a brilliant idea. We haven't done it. We've tried at UCSF and didn't get traction there, but I actually have a list of programs to offer alum, and I was hoping then to charge them a little bit of money and then support our program that way, but everyone's competing, I think, for alumni focus and dollars. So we didn't get traction at UCSF, but it's a brilliant idea, and we love it, and we will talk about it. And if you have any ideas, you know, specifically.
I bring up one thing, because this is actually a great overview for what you guys have done programmatically, but what's amazing to me is it actually weaves out things.
Yeah, well, we did the highlights.
No, I know. So,
yeah.
So when for people who were here before 12 or 5 after, when the flyers were coming up.
Can you just switch now?
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe just show them. But I guess this is a subtleties of what I don't want people to have to read between the lines.
Thank you.
The Chancellor's Advisory Committee on the Status of Women would host, you know, monthly luncheons on career development for faculty or the retirement program or what you need to be working on with them. Assistant professor to be successful, the junior professor's guide to the lonely planet, all this.
Yeah.
So there would be all these other groups at UCSF working on things, and Amy would be the workhorse who would actually line it up, figure out how to get, like, the top speaker there who just published a book because they had a kid in San Francisco, and can we line you up to be the keynote at our event while you're out here to visit your son or daughter or something? I mean, just... your skill. I've only been with you for 23 years, and you were trying to get her.
She's second child.
When I went to her as an assistant professor and said I'm interested in helping on this, and that's how we became friends. That's how we became colleagues. Mentored Amy on her doctoral degree. She's mentored me on my entire career. But what you do every single day is just incredible. You know, I mean. This goes back over 30 years, and these aren't even the things that you were showing with your data to show it works and so forth.
We had a 30th anniversary celebration, and Angela Davis came and spoke for us. It's amazing. So Matiza and Chelsea put together this slideshow just showing, you know, the things that we've done over the years. It's the 30-year retrospective. Oh, my God.
We need a perspective.
Why are you laughing?
But it really is about twice a week that you're involved in something that's going on campus to improve everybody's lives and their productivity at work, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Huge.
So speaking of champions, you know, Mary has been a champion for me and has made such a difference in my career, so I thank you for that. Your comments, and we worked together. She was the first speaker here for the Women We Admire and did an outstanding job. It was incredible. And a lot of our work has overlapped over the years. So this is before computers. That's why some of this stuff looks pretty funny. And Jeff used to do some artwork for me that I could use on slides.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Okay, let's keep this running while we wrap off on flowers. Everyone, put a little name tag in that you wanted to? Okay. Excellent. Andy, because you were so great at helping with that, but you can still kind of. Okay. thank you for coming and for your work.
Jay Lewis? And wants to get married, you can today.
And thank you, Dr. Levine. I think I speak for all of us, which is amazing. You and your team said so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Please stand by.